This is Michelle.
And this is Andrea.
And we're Black Girls Vibe. This is Sunday, May 5th, 2019. Cinco de Mayo for some of you. Hope you all are out there to the extent that you're out there enjoying. Enjoy responsibly. Andrea, how have things been going with you this week?
It's been a busy week. So gearing up for what will hopefully be a less eventful week. How about you?
Yeah, busy, I suspect not as busy as yours was, but yeah, busy nonetheless. But yeah, we got the ball pushed forward a couple of feet this week, so yeah, we'll consider it progress. As always, a lot of sports to catch up on in this last week.
Yeah, because no matter how busy we are, the sports stories still continue to move on.
They keep churning and churning. I guess in terms of recent events, we had the 145th running of the Kentucky Derby yesterday.
We did, yeah.
And one of the more controversial endings, although, let me make sure I get my horses right. Let's see. Country House ended up winning.
Yes.
Because Maximum Security DQ'd.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum Security actually won the race, but prior to winning the race, was determined to have interfered and crossed into the path and impeded the progress of several other horses in the final stretch, coming around the final curve or whatever. So after officials took a whopping 22 minutes to deliberate because of the magnitude of what they were contemplating, they decided that to DQ Maximum Security and give the trophy, if you will, to Country House. I don't know if you got to see it live. I did not see the running live. I saw more of the post coverage when they were announcing that there would be deliberations. And then I saw like when Country House received the roses or whatever. And there was active booing. Like people were not happy with how things happened yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I gathered. So I didn't see the race live either. And it wasn't until what I could tell was the outcome with the overturn of Maximum Security winning that I said, okay, well, something clearly has happened. And so I went back and watched just a recording of the race and then saw what happened. And so, yeah, it was not a popular ruling, clearly. And I think the first time that something like this has happened, I think there have been maybe one or two, I don't know, previous winners who have been disqualified probably for, probably drugs or things like that.
Yeah, you're right on the money.
To enhance performance, but nothing to this level. And so, you know, like I saw the interference, but I mean, again, not having it live, not being there, it didn't appear to me that the interference was enough to, I mean, Maximum Security won by quite a distance.
Facts, yes,
and
absolutely.
It just wasn't clear to me that whatever may have occurred in that last turn was enough to have caused Country House, and I don't remember the other horse, to lose step and lose that kind of ground. But
and here's the deal. Like Country House wasn't affected by Maximum Security's impeding on other horses. Yeah, so they weren't affected at all, but they were one, the jockey for Country House was one of the ones to raise the objection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other horse that raised the objection was one of the affected horses. But yeah, to your point, like it's never been a case where they have on site reversed a call and given the trophy to another horse. I think I saw something that said in 68, a horse who won was subsequently disqualified because of a positive drug test. But I guess that's why it was so controversial, because you had this happening live at the actual race yesterday.
Right.
So I get, and if you're really into horse racing, I can understand how you might feel some type of way about how things happened.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, was Maximum Security the front runner to win. And, you know, with all the odds and the betting that goes on around Derby, like, I'm sure that quite a bit of money was lost.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maximum Security had become the one viewed as likely to win after, I mean, what preceded all this was the horse that was projected to win ended up having to fall out because of something about its epiglottis. Go figure. ended up falling out of the race like maybe Wednesday or Thursday. So when that happened, it shifted all the odds or whatever. So yeah, Maximum Security was supposed to do well and did well, but then ended up where it did. So live to fight another day, and maybe we'll see some of these horses again next year.
Yeah, I think definitely Country House will have something to prove if the horse and the jockey are in the next race, just because it was such an unpopular outcome and ruling. But always something exciting around Derby.
Always something exciting around Derby. In other news, USA Gymnastics, after all the turmoil it's had here recently with the scandal involving Dr. Larry Nassar and his rampant, ongoing, long-standing abuse of female gymnasts, and the inability to keep an executive director, they had hired a medical director and announced that person's hiring. I don't have his name in front of me, earlier this week, and literally a day later, he resigned or was fired. So I hope that USA Gymnastics gets it together. It just doesn't seem as though, like whatever lessons that seem obvious to be gained from what's happened to them over the last several years, it's not quite clear to me that those lessons are being learned.
Now, it does feel very tone deaf to a lot that has surfaced just surrounding what the ladies have experienced. And to hire a male medical director just feels very tone deaf to what they've endured and what has kind of come to light. I don't know. I would hope that just even going through Nassar's trial and all of the stories and all of the ladies who came up and very vocal about their experience, that this would not have happened. But I don't know. It would be nice to see or be confident that their input mattered and the things that they've been able to speak out about and been courageous to speak out about made some difference. So I don't know. It's a little discouraging on that front. It is. But
well, hopefully at some point they will be able to strike the right tone. It was very telling that when they announced the hiring of this individual earlier this week, I think Simone Biles tweeted something out like, seriously? Like, you all have...
That would be my reaction, too. Like, really?
Right.
Confused meme, but...
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully that they will get it right on all the fronts in which they need to get it, and with regard to who's running the organization, not just operationally, but from a medical standpoint as well. Other news, Tiger's headed to the White House either today or tomorrow to get his... I think it's Presidential Medal of Freedom. So there's that.
Okay. Well, I wonder what meal will be served during the ceremony.
That's a good question. I know that when, for the first time, 45 had a women's championship team, hosted a team at the White House earlier this week. The Lady Bears, the Baylor Lady Bears, having just come off of their NCAA Final Four championship, were hosted at the White House a couple of days ago. He served them fast food.
Yes.
There's a picture of him with them, I guess, in the Oval Office. They're kind of flanking him. And Coach Mulkey, who, by the way, asked for or indicated as soon as she won that they would absolutely go to the White House if invited. Well, she got her wish, and they were there. The images of the young ladies who were there, suffice it to say, they don't look particularly pleased to be there. But they're there nonetheless. They showed up, and end of the day, congrats to Baylor Lady Bears for winning the championship.
So we'll see what tweets or what kind of comes out of Tiger's visit this week to receive his Medal of Freedom.
Yes, we shall see what Tiger what comes of that, if anything. So in NBA news, we got some playoff stuff going on.
Yeah, we had talked last episode about, you know, it was some new teams, some new faces, not having kind of the same highlights surrounding, you know, LeBron in particular. And I think we've seen that from the matchups that we've had thus far in the second round.
Yeah, yeah. Have you, did you get a chance to catch any of the games thus far?
I've watched kind of off and on a little bit of the Warriors Rockets, and clearly Raptors 76ers, here and there, depending on start time and day of the week, Portland, Denver.
Yeah. Can I say, like, for you being in the Eastern time zone, those games that come on at like 10:30,
those left coast, games are not meant for anyone who lives on the East Coast.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
We catch the highlights the next day.
Yeah, yeah, that's understandable. That's a game that starts at a good 10:30 if the previous game hasn't run over.
Right.
Yeah, so it's understandable if you've not been able to watch every second of every game just based off of that alone.
Right.
So it looks like every series is, I mean, we are three games in, but instead of any particular team being up 3-0, we're in 2-1 situations across the board. The Warriors are one up on Houston. Houston did win last night, though, in overtime. Portland is up 2-1 over Denver after a 4 overtime game on Friday night. The 76ers are up 2-1 over the Raptors. And the Bucks are up 2-1 over the Celtics.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. So these games are competitive. They're going to go to at least 5. I imagine probably more. A couple of interesting side stories. Really fascinating about like the Houston and Warriors series is how the referees have become, like how the officiating occurs has become its own storyline. As evidenced by the reaction to game one and the feeling that Golden State got a lot more calls in its favor than Houston did. And James Harden had some comments to say behind that. And then in game two, we saw where James Harden actually got inadvertently poked in the eye by Draymond. And still played fairly well and had some significant damage to his eyes, both eyes, it sounds like. But yeah, the officiating has become a part of the storyline, which, you know, I don't know how much I am in favor of making, like, the Zebras a part of the game to that extent.
Yeah, I mean, it does. There are going to be missed calls. There are going to be bad calls. I mean, it's part of the human error, unfortunately, that goes into the game. Mm-hmm. And you can only offer replay for so many things without it just being a detriment to the duration of a game.
That's right.
Because nobody wants to see a 5-hour basketball game that only lasts 4 quarters if it becomes we're constantly watching replay for everything.
That's
so
right.
So I get it, and I understand from a player standpoint why, you know, with, yes, you feel like you were fouled. Yes. But yeah, the constant like running up to the ref after a play, it's just like, just play the game.
Just play the game.
Just play the game. And there will be some time if it doesn't affect the outcome of the game, there will be time on the back end afterwards to do the review and make some adjustments. But yeah, kind of that end game constant bringing the referee in, and I'm with you. It's just, I don't like to see it either and have them become a part of the series.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're such all world players on both teams. Just play ball.
That's it. Like, that is it. Yeah. And if you focus on doing that, then a lot of times, again, mistakes do happen and bad calls have occasionally resulted in determining who wins the game. But if you just play it and play it out, then those calls, like it wouldn't, the outcome then wouldn't be determined by one call in a game. It becomes the whole, what, you know, the whole time in these four quarters and what play went into it.
Right, right. Scott Van Pelt had an interest, put up some interesting analysis. I think after game one last weekend and all the hullabaloo around the report that the Rockets had done and analyzing one of their games from Western Conference Finals against the Warriors last year, in which they ended up kind of concluding that there were so many missed calls and there were so many missed scoring opportunities as a result. And if things had been called as they should have, like technically the Rockets should have won that game, whatever, whatever. But Scott Van Pelt showed this video analysis of how Harden shoots in different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that?
No, but okay. I've seen different analysts talk about Harden in particular, but well, I haven't seen Scott's.
It was pretty compelling. I mean, when he's just shooting naturally, it's straight up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up and down. But when he's shooting from behind the arc and he's trying to draw the foul, he jumps out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not an up and down jump. So he clearly shoots in certain circumstances to draw the foul. And it's not a natural shooting pattern. So
Right. Where
your landing area is determined by how you jump.
Right.
And you shouldn't get those calls where you're going out of your way to manufacture a landing space that's larger than the natural one, right? Like a reasonable one.
Right.
So, yeah, it's some interesting analysis. And, you know, Harden, who has kind of invented what it means to backstep and how many steps you can take. It's just interesting to see him kind of carry, like, this is the hill that he's choosing to die on with regard to the refs. Like, they're not calling fouls on me enough when I think there are some of us out there who believe that James Harden gets away with a lot of stuff he never gets called for.
Mm-hmm.
So the irony of that is it certainly isn't lost on me. Some of these other series, you know, we've had Portland and Denver, which, you know, some have said is probably the least sexy of the matchups in the second round.
Those are probably those of us who live on the East Coast.
I can't
watch a game.
Point well taken. Exactly.
That's the excuse that
right,
we use.
The reason is
it's less
like
sexy because it's a 10:30 game.
It's a 10:30 game. Right, exactly. Less sexy because I'm asleep. But interesting, and it's unfortunate because, you know, you have some really talented players on both teams, on all these teams, frankly. Enes Kanter encountered some booing and chanting from some Denver fans after a skirmish in which he was involved and got teed up for, where they were yelling at him, go back to Turkey, oh, wait, you can't. Those of you who know about Kanter know he's originally from Turkey, but because of the political strife that's going on there that he's been very vocal about, he can't go back home. And I thought he was, it was a class act in how he responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, I'm in America, you know, we can't watch NBA games in Turkey because of the strictness of the government. I'm in America because I believe in freedom and the values that are promoted here. So I thought he took the high road in a case where it could have been well within his right to have said something, you know, more strong, more directed at those mean-spirited fans.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Bucks and Celtics, it looks like Giannis is playing well and making even more of a name for himself.
Yeah, yeah.
76ers and Raptors, Kawhi was strong in that first game, a little less dominant the last two games. What do you make of that?
Well, some of it, I think, is, you know, give credit to the 76ers.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got some great players and are defending him well. But then two, because I'm going to stick up for Kawhi.
Of course you are.
Right, because that's the expected thing for me to do is the Raptors, where is the rest of your team? Like, show up.
It's
probably a little of both. And they play this afternoon. So hopefully they can turn things around, because they definitely don't need to go down 3-1 in that series, with 76ers clearly having a lot of the momentum.
Listen, friend, I am certainly not comparing you to Giselle, Tom Brady's wife, but I am reminded of that one of those Super Bowls that they've lost, one of the ones against the Patriots, where she's like completely hysterical, like in the tunnel or whatever, saying he can't throw the ball to himself.
Agreed. So I mean, we talked about how, I think it was the last episode, where he dunked and then handed when the ball came through and handed it. I mean, he can't do that every play.
He can't do that every play.
So he's passing it to himself. He's defending all five players. He's scoring all the points.
He can't do it all.
No.
He can't do it
all. I mean, he can't play 48 minutes alone.
He can't. He can't. You're right.
He definitely can have a better game, and hopefully today he will. But Lowry and Ibaka and these other guys can step up a little bit too.
Agreed. Well, anything else to discuss in these NBA streets from your perspective? Oh, there is one more thing in there.
Well, before you get to that one thing, I'm going to go back to the Warriors for a second.
Okay, come on.
Specifically Steph and that missed dunk at the end of last night's game. It was like I couldn't decide if he was trying to go for a layup, or because he was so wide open, was like, I'm just going to dunk it. And then it just all fell apart at the end. And not having seen the whole game, it sounded like he just had an off night.
That was a cherry on top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to mention that.
Silly.
It's because it's not typical Steph. We normally don't see him have games like that, but it was just kind of the culmination of a rough night for him.
Yeah, so I watched a lot of that game. I didn't watch it to its conclusion. Yeah, he and Clay, it just wasn't dropping for him. And I mean, they just both had an off night.
Yes.
And, I did see when, and I'm trying to recall which Rockets player, it was beautiful though. Iggy went up for a dunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And Iggy came back down without a dunk.
He did. He did. And yeah, I don't remember which Rockets player it was either now, unfortunately.
The cleanest block ever. Yeah. I mean, he just... And it was at that point that I was fairly confident that it wasn't the Warriors' night.
Right.
Like, okay. So, and it's good for the series. I'm glad. Like, I think, you know, in the absence of LeBron, it's great to have these matchups or whatever that spur conversation, and Warriors Rockets at this point has definitely become that. So another NBA related but non-playoff related issue, the Lakers.
Yeah. So we carried into this week with another Lakers ongoing saga. Yep. So what's the latest with them?
Well, it looks like they're about to hire Tyronn Lue as their coach. Monty Williams, who was the other candidate, I guess, on the short list, if you will, accepted the head coaching job with the Suns. So that only left Tyronn. And it sounds like we should expect to hear before we record again. He'll be announced as the new Lakers coach. And the saga continues.
Hmm.
It's just hard to figure out the value. It's just hard to figure out the value of bringing him in beyond what the relationship is with LeBron.
Right, because when we talked last episode, it was more about finding a coach who had that respect and could really not control, but kind of manage the team and, and do the things that they needed to do from a coach perspective, which we didn't. I don't think we really saw. And again, it's not to take anything away from Coach Lue, but I don't really see what changes bringing him on board when he just left a coaching situation with the Cavs with LeBron there. So that's not, I'm sure it's not the hire that I expected the Lakers to make at this point. in whichever direction they're headed, because it's still not clear to me now with this hiring that they even know. Mm-hmm. But this isn't the move that I think that they need as a team to kind of steer them back on the right course.
How much of this do you think is driven by their wanting to please LeBron?
It could be some of it, probably a majority of it, because he's a coach he's familiar with. And so it's probably having that now that, you know, Walton's gone, Magic's gone, and a lot of the reasons LeBron came to the Lakers are no longer in place, Magic probably being the biggest one of them. And so probably having a coach he's familiar with, maybe, I can't see the Lakers going out with a coaching search and Lou being their first choice, if not for LeBron.
Yeah. The hiring of Lou makes me wonder. I'm more troubled between whether they're hiring to placate LeBron or whether they're hiring to keep the role in the family, in the Laker family. Mm-hmm. I'm more troubled by the latter. Like, at what point are the Lakers going to realize or appreciate the fact that maybe success for them going forward means stepping out of their comfort zone and taking it out of the family.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, only time will tell at this point. I mean, we got, you know, just like we have to wait and see what'll happen with the Giants, we'll have to wait and see what'll happen with the Lakers and this hire and who they're able to attract in free agency this summer and the next. And, you know, it'll be a fun to sit back and be able to talk about it either way.
Yeah.
But good luck to the Lakers again. The league does well when the Lakers are doing well. So.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the point in the episode where we do our Black Girls Magic moment. And this week we want to bring attention to Ms. Caster Semenya. Some of you are aware of her situation. She is a middle distance runner from South Africa, and she's been kind of in the sports world consciousness for a decade now. It's a very complicated set of circumstances. She identifies as a woman. She's gay. She's never publicly been identified as intersex, although media outlets have reported that she has the XY chromosome. And the long and short of it is that this has had implications for her ability to race, because the governing body, the IAAF, over the years has challenged her eligibility because she has higher than typical testosterone levels. They came up with the IAAF came up with a policy last year that basically said that women with high testosterone levels have to take medication, basically hormones, to lower those levels in order to compete. She appealed that decision to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, and just this week they upheld the policy, and so she's lost the appeal. She has since declared that she's not taking medication to modify her testosterone levels. There are indications that there are huge side effects and risks associated with her trying to manage or lower those levels. There are some human rights implications. The UN has actually come out against the decision, saying it has negative implications for the ability for women athletes to control their bodies and what's done to them voluntarily. And again, regardless of where you fall politically on these issues, I think that there's something to be said for the courage she's demonstrating in this moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, you know, a lot of people might just say, throw in the towel, and okay, in order for me to continue, I need to give up this thing. But she's not doing that. So anyway, I hope that she prevails in any appeal that she's going to pursue as a result of this most recent decision, and that this week wasn't the last week we've seen her compete. And a salute to her. So we'll be back next week with even more in sports news. There'll be more to talk about, I'm sure, from an NBA playoff standpoint. And other sports. So we look forward to talking to you guys next week, and hope you have a good one.